Something for your mind.
And welcome to the 2018 version of Alt Rock. We took a bit of a break, mainly because I had seasonal depression.
Had?
Yeah, it feels pretty bad. But I got vitamin D. And now I can do this sometimes. So that's cool. But seasonal depression, guys, that's not the topic.
It's a fucking real thing.
And with me is our favorite, Lauren.
Hello.
And maybe another time we'll talk about seasonal depression, but right now that's a little too personal, okay? But what we are going to talk about, because it is February, and yeah, I know it's Black History Month, and yeah, I was like, we should definitely touch on that, and we probably will in the next one, but Valentine's Day is coming up, so, anyways, that sounds horrible. Like, my priorities are so fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm like, we could have talked about systemic racism and white privilege, but I chose Valentine's Day.
The day! Let's talk about chocolates. Yeah. Let's talk about teddy bears.
Sex. Like,
kinky sex. God.
I'm sorry, guys, if I'm part of the problem.
Blame it on seasonal depression.
Yeah, that's why. It's like my excuse for everything. Everyone's like, Elizabeth, why didn't you wash your hair? And I'm like, seasonal depression.
Why didn't you, like, I don't know, get out of bed? Seasonal depression.
Guys.
Why didn't you do your dishes? Seasonal depression.
That is real, though.
That is like, so fucking real.
That's the last thing you want to do when you're lying on your couch doing absolutely nothing because you want to die because it's sad outside.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It's just so accurate. Yep. I love my dog. He's a good boy, and he's been very helpful.
So helpful.
So, Valentine's Day. So, it's kind of like, today we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about shit like that. Mm-hmm. So, I thought it would be fun to start with the history of Valentine's Day, Lauren.
Give it to me.
It's fucking typical Christian bullshit.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah. So the holiday began as a feast to celebrate the decapitation of a 3rd century Christian martyr. Are we surprised?
No. Somebody always must be killed.
I know. Well,
always.
You know what strikes me as funny is, like, I feel like Easter people have, like, this weird thing where they're like, remember that Jesus died for everyone, but let's not call it human sacrifice. You know, like,
it's like he died. Oh, but do you really want to talk about how he apparently died?
And like some people do. Some people, like the Catholics, they're like, he died on a cross and it was gruesome. But then once you're like, so it's human sacrifice, they're like, oh my God, no.
Then what is it?
Yeah, well, it's,
what are you going to classify it as?
It's human sacrifice. But I feel like the word decapitation is just a little more poignant.
Oh, yeah.
So when you say, it's a feast to celebrate the decapitation of a 3rd century Christian martyr, it's...
At some point you feel as if they're cannibals.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck? What is wrong with people? So, in typical Christian fashion, there's about 3 to 4 different versions of this story and very loose historical proof that this person existed.
30 to 4?
Did I say 30 to 4?
Yeah.
I'm at 3 to 4. But who's counting?
Not you.
30 to 4. No, 3 to 4. And essentially they all go something like this. So it's one of the first late medieval legends is reprinted in a book called the Acta, which is what the Bolland, monks, they, like, basically devoted their entire life to figuring out martyrs and writing about martyrs and whatever. It's pretty boring shit. There was a Roman priest named Valentinus, sure. And he was
Valentinus?
Valentinus. And the ladies loved him.
Valentine Day.
And one day he dipped it in chocolate and it was game over.
Oh, yeah. Screw chocolate covered strawberries. Yeah. Give me a chocolate covered penis.
Yeah. So, okay. So he was arrested during the reign of Emperor Gothicus. And because Gothicus was broody, moody, hated his parents, listened to Screamo. Just kidding.
Love it.
But he hated Christians. And I think he was onto something, personally. Just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding. I say that.
Says the atheist.
My sister's like a devout Christian, listens to this. Sorry, Sarah, love you. So
this was not directed at you.
It wasn't. Okay, you know me, Sarah. You know me. I just...
You fuck around.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, he hated Christians, and so he was like, you know, let's get this shit out of here. I like my pagan shit. He was not moving on from his pagan shit. He was okay. On that pagan shit.
Okay.
So he put Valentinus into the custody of an aristocrat named Asterius. And as the story goes, I know, they're all very...
They're terrible names.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
It's like a bunch of Utah moms moved in.
Got together and were like, you know what? We're going to fuck shit up. They thought it was bad now. Yeah. Just you wait.
Except I feel like they would have spelled it more creatively. Like Gothicus would have been like G-O-T-H-Y-K-Y-S-S. Yeah.
E-E-S-S.
Asterius would be...
Oh. That would be a doozy.
A-U-S-T-E-A-R-Y-I-U-S-E.
I mean, at least it's not like McKinley.
McKinley's a normal name.
No, I hate it. It's terrible. Have you seen the way that people spell that?
They spell
it terribly.
My cousin's name is McKinley. I thought it was
cute. How do they spell it?
Normal.
Okay.
M-C-K-I-N-L-E-Y, please.
Don't wreck my dreams.
Please?
Please?
So Valentinus goes to stay with Asterius. And Asterius made the mistake of letting Valentinus talk. Simple mistake. Never let a Christian talk.
That's true. You just gotta shut them up when they first start.
Yeah, you just gotta start feeding them wine.
Oh, wait, most of them don't drink wine anymore.
Yeah, boring. Okay, so Father Valentinus went on and on and on and on about Christ leading the pagans out of the shadow of darkness and into the light of truth and salvation. So Asterius was a bargaining man, and he said, Valentinus, if you can cure my foster daughter of blindness, shit you not foster daughter.
Nuh-uh.
I'm like, how did they have foster care program.
Okay, wait a second. How did they document that she was a foster child?
I don't know. Like, they're like, oh, we found her record from Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Asterius was taking her, you know, once a month to get ice cream.
Yeah, who? Nobody cares. Yeah, I don't care if it's the foster child.
Daughter. I don't know what the hell that is. I don't know if maybe that's a euphemism for slave.
Where are you looking at this?
This was from the, what is that one museum called?
Oh my gosh, I thought you were going to say Wikipedia, and I was like, some bitch put that in there to be funny. Wish.
No, it's the Smithsonian.
Oh, you're actually using a reputable source.
And also NPR. It's a combination.
Okay,
of
cool.
Two.
Love it.
Yeah, so. Unfortunately, it's real. And so, of course, Valentina said, hell yeah. And he put his hands over the girl's eyes and he chanted, Lord Jesus Christ, enlighten. See what he did there?
Yeah.
Enlighten your handmaid because you are God, the true light. Easy as that, she saw. And
what?
Yeah. So Asterius and his whole family were baptized. Unfortunately, though, Gothicus wasn't stoked on that and ordered them all to be executed.
Because his name is Gothicus.
Yeah, he was like, what? Asterius, I trusted you with this Christian guy, and I trusted that you'd hate him.
I'm sorry. Nobody's going to hate somebody if they...
Yeah, well, here's the glitch here is you would think that Asterius would be like, Gothicus, dude... My foster daughter can see.
Yeah, what do you think I was going to do?
Yeah, but...
Ignore that?
Clearly...
You know, considering that this story is absolutely accurate.
Yeah, it's got to be. So Valentinus was the only one to be beheaded, and a pious widow made off with his body. Fucking weird, okay? I do not know. I don't know. Had it buried at the site of his martyrdom...
That's so much dedication.
Yeah, and basically there's a chapel that's built over his remains. But then another version of the story goes that the foster daughter ended up being one of his lovers, and then he also got beheaded.
Man, he told people foster daughter so it didn't look weird when he was raping a 12-year-old.
Yeah, well, she had daddy issues, so.
No, all of us do.
No one more than a foster daughter, though.
That's actually really true. That's so true. I'm so sorry if you were once a foster child, but it's absolutely accurate. Yeah,
you got some attachment disorders, which we'll get to.
What a segue. What a segue.
So there are a few Valentini martyrs, obviously. They all happen on February 14th, obviously. Okay. So, but then, like, the more widely accepted version is that he would, so essentially the reason why Gothicus, like, didn't like him was because he was performing secret marriages of Christians underground when they were doing their underground,
ooh,
like, Christian thing.
Wow. Yeah.
So he was, like, priest,
like, prohibition with Christian marriage.
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares?
Yeah, it's probably just as boring then as it is now.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing exciting about it. Okay.
So, yeah, he would totally do all that. And they would get married through note passing, which is kind of cute.
That is adorable.
That's where Valentine's come from.
Yeah.
So, and then another version of this story, Valentinus is said to have died in Africa along with 24 soldiers. Unfortunately, no one knows anything about this version of the story. So
that's reputable.
Yep, but
I like the second one the best because it's got note passing.
Yeah,
note passing. Who didn't love note passing growing up? I'm sorry, but everybody did that.
Yeah, so yeah, but then each time he always, in the end of the story, he gets his head cut off on February 14th.
Fuck.
So there's another really weird version of the story that he was never decapitated and that. Yeah, he ran away with the blind girl that he allegedly healed. So, it's all over the place. It's really all over the place. No one fucking knows what's going on.
I mean, okay. For no one to know what's going on, because that's obviously apparent, for us to have an entire holiday.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, so everyone thinks it's like Cupid and stuff, but they're like, no, Saint Valentine or
was
whatever,
decapitated.
Was his head was cut off? He was probably,
or he ran off with an underage girl.
Yeah, he probably got his head cut off. I'm like really rooting for that.
Well, think about the timing.
Just because it's a cooler story.
It is a cooler story. I mean, if I had that story, I'd prefer that it would be.
Yeah, like we've all heard of that. You remember that teacher that like ran off with one of his students, and they, it's like that.
Yeah, it is.
It's not. You don't want to hear that romance.
Yeah, no, because it's not romance.
No.
There's a whole lot of brainwashing going on there.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh.
Yeah, grooming. Anybody? Anyone?
No? Grooming? Just us? Great.
Great. So, I just think it's really interesting that we have this whole holiday that's, like, geared around love, and I feel like people put so much stock into Valentine's Day.
They do. I mean, even single people put a lot of stock into Valentine's Day.
Yeah, they like get extra sad that day.
Which, okay. I've been in a relationship for a few years. Valentine's Day is a great day.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest, it's kind of like every other day.
Yeah.
Like, you should still try to make things special every other day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the other thing is, too, is I think, like, it causes issues in relationships.
I absolutely agree.
Because it's like, well, so you didn't propose to me, like, do you even care? Like, something dramatic.
It's some bullshit, like, wow, this is the restaurant you took us to. Yeah, we come here all the time. I wanted something new.
Yeah, it's just...
How the fuck is that person supposed to know? And also, get off your high horse. At least they're taking you somewhere.
Yeah.
There are people in the world that don't eat, Brenda.
Yeah, for real. They're starving. And they have eating disorders. Just kidding.
They're starving and have eating disorders.
But
that's kind of like redundant, but okay.
Oh God, I'm getting so good at screening myself for this podcast.
I'm impressed.
Thank you, because I just stopped myself.
You probably should have screened yourself earlier when we were talking about Black History Month.
Yeah. But that was real, though. Like, I was feeling like maybe we should do, like, something on mass incarceration or, like, something that's, like, very politically woke and in the spirit of the movement. But then I just didn't. I'm really sorry. I will, though. I will cover that topic. It's just really heavy.
It is. It's such a heavy topic.
It's really sad, and it's really fucked up, and it's just so wrought with racism and, like, obvious money, greed, corporations.
And just, yeah, I mean, this, you feel dirty.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, talking about it just makes you feel like, oh, God, humanity sucks.
Yeah.
It just sucks. Horrible. We already know that, guys.
Yeah, and then you just, like,
look who's president!
Someone could, like, people would stop sucking, and then, like, the more you read, you're like, wow, we just keep sucking harder and harder and harder, you know?
Just like people on Valentine's Day.
Like a whore whose rent is due tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Just going at it.
Yep.
Anyways, so I thought it would be nice to talk about attachment style and how that influences love, because you guys, Valentine's Day does not dictate your relationship.
No.
Your attachment style.
And if Valentine's Day is dictating your relationship, you really need to reevaluate.
You're in the wrong one.
Yeah.
So, attachment style.
Give it to me.
We have. So, attachment theory is basically this theory that's kind of new. And essentially, back in the day, they used to, like, whenever people would come in with relationship problems, the therapist would be like, oh my God, I have to, like, learn about your personality. You have to, like, figure out, like, everything about you.
Yeah.
And this is going to take time. And then all of a sudden, this guy who was working with babies and their attachment bonding with their mothers when they're born started to notice a trend in, like, the data revealed in various studies done on baby and infant attachment and similarities with adult attachment.
Okay.
And so then he was the guy that was like, wait a second, these are the same
thing.
Yeah.
Let's just simplify.
So essentially, there's that little strange situation test everybody knows about, which is when you put a baby in a room, you give it a toy, mom's there, and you put the toy somewhere, and the baby will, like, kind of crawl around and, like, go look at it, and so then they'll have the mother leave the room, and so you'll see typically three reactions. One is a crying child who's, like, angry and is, like, pounding on the door for the mom to come back and is, like, kind of inconsolable until the mom comes back. And even when mom comes back,
takes a minute.
Yeah, and they'll even be mad at the mom, like, hit the mom or, like, be like,
yeah,
how could you do that
how
to
dare
me?
You leave me?
And then there's the fussy child who kind of acclimates, and then mom comes back, and, you know, they run to mom and kind of fuss more, but then they get back down and they're fine. And then you have the totally fine baby who her mom leaves, and that baby's like, fuck her.
I'm fucking fine.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, she's so needy, you guys.
Like, I needed a minute, all right? Like, at least.
Can you tell her that, like, we need to start seeing other people?
We're either going to have to go to therapy,
yeah,
or we're just going to need to be separated completely.
Yeah, this baby is not in it. This baby's like...
Those are the type of babies that I fucking love, though. They don't give a rat's ass. They don't care.
They're like, she can get hit by a bus tomorrow. I don't even know her name.
What was that? My mother? No, don't care.
I said dad first just to watch her cry.
Mama, no. No, no, no. I can do it, but I'm not gonna.
Like, she's pretty desperate.
Oh my gosh, so many fucked up kids.
Yep. So, what was really funny is everyone assumes, though, that the avoidant baby or the fine baby is, like, totally fine. But in the studies, guess what? That baby still had the same heart rate as the fussy baby and even sometimes the crying angry baby.
That's interesting.
And really high cortisol levels. So what was really fascinating is that fine baby is not fine.
Not fine at all.
But they're like, show no
one. Show no emotion.
Stiff up a little.
Don't let them know.
Yeah.
Don't let them in.
Yeah, like Frozen.
Yeah.
Elsa. First act.
Yep.
That is that baby.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't let it show. I'm gonna cry.
Let it go. Let it go.
It just sucks that movie's actually a good movie.
Oh my gosh, right?
Yeah,
I watch it and
that.
I'm like, it's sadly good.
Yeah, like everyone's like, oh my gosh, you have to see Coco. And I'm like, fuck that. And then I watch it and I'm like bawling. And I'm like,
oh
damn it, Disney does it again.
Coco wrecked me.
Yeah, you're destroyed.
I was out. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? The whole ride home, I was like, what?
Did she remember him? Did the grandma remember? Oh, she did? Oh my god.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So good.
So good.
So, yeah. So, those attachment styles in a baby, they kind of indicate a lot of things. So a crying child that's very angry, typically that means they sometimes get a lot of love and attention and sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of have like this intense like, oh my god, I have to have it all the time.
Will she come back and will she actually give me love? Yeah. Or
did I do something wrong? She's going to be gone forever, because sometimes she does that. So yeah.
Everybody listen closely, because you need to figure out which one you are, because you're probably the baby freaking out.
Yeah. And also, if you have a baby and your baby's the baby freaking out, get some help.
Yeah, address that.
Like, the fussy fine baby has attachment with people where they're like, everything's pretty fine. And yeah, sometimes they leave and I hate that, but they always come back usually. And if not, I have a babysitter and I have a dad and I have
and everything's great, grandma. Everything's fine. Yeah,
like, they're just like, it sucks.
It like but sucks it's fine. For a second, but yeah. It's gonna be okay.
Exactly. And
or
then
the
you
baby
have
baby riding on the line.
Yeah. And then you have the avoidant baby who's dying inside, but it's like, no, I'm totally fine. This is fine. Lock the door. Lock it. I dare you. Don't let her in. I won't care. And like deep down,
leave.
I'm like, please.
Watch me cry. Because I won't.
It's like a staring contest. So adults have like basically the same exact stuff. And it is very interesting because they further studied this and found that the exploratory drive in children is completely stifled by the absence of a secure base, except if it's avoidant. Because it won't really care. Even the avoidant, actually, I think they said it kind of was like, I'm not going to play, but I'm not going to cry. So a secure base is a prerequisite for a child's ability to explore in psychology. So for a child to feel safe to explore, learn, and develop, they have to have this secure base. The same exact thing can be applied to adults. So for a child, that's like, my mom's in the room, so I have the secure base, so I can go about the room and explore and play freely.
Yeah.
For adults, it's very similar. Adults need a secure base in adulthood, and it provides better environments for them to be successful adults. This is called the dependency paradox.
Okay.
Because we've all heard of, like, don't be codependent.
Yeah.
Codependent relationship, which those are bad. But they found that the more dependent you are on a good person to be, who is dependable, the more successful you will be as an adult.
Because I think it comes down to, like, from a relationship perspective, both of us have been in relationship with shitty people,
yeah, right?
Right. And when you're in a relationship with a shitty person, you don't have a secure base. Mm-hmm. You don't have a good platform to lean onto when you need it. It's not that you need it all the time, and you shouldn't need it all the time, but you need to know that it's there.
Yeah, just like mom in the room.
Exactly. You need to know that it's there when you need it, but if you need it all the time, mm-hmm. that's a problem.
Well, the only reason you'd probably need it all the time, and we'll get to that, is if you have an activated attachment system.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Yeah.
So, that's what's really interesting, is most people think, like, anyone that wants to be with their significant other all the time, or, like, leans upon them a lot, or is dependent upon them, in our, like urban, like, cultural consciousness, it's almost seen as a bad thing or a weakness. But then all the studies reveal, actually, you will be a more successful person. So what Dr. J. Feeney found is that...
Good name.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Adults that have a secure base know how to give and get support, and they're comfortable with that. And when you have that, and you depend on each other a lot, what ends up happening is these people were better to identify their goals, be more expressive and honest about their goals, and more clear in what they had to do to achieve those goals, and more likely to achieve them.
Interesting.
So it's very funny. So next time you hear someone that's like, oh, I could never be so weak as to love someone, you'd be like,
You're an idiot.
You fucked yourself.
I feel like people get so hung up, especially now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm single and I'm strong.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But to a point,
you can't conflate the two.
No, you can't. And so it's like, oh, I'm single, I'm fine. We know you're fine.
Yeah.
But you still have to be open to the idea that, like, when you do find somebody, you're still going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you didn't lose something.
Yeah, by being with someone.
Exactly.
That is a good
And
point.
If you are losing something, you're not in a good relationship.
Yeah. And also, you keep saying you're fine, almost like you're not fine.
Oh my gosh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I love being single. I'm fine.
Love it. I just feel like more myself. I just love it. Oh, like, it's so fun.
It's that, okay, this is gonna sound rude, but that bitch on Instagram who's single and add and is like, oh my gosh, look at the flowers and the chocolates I sent myself.
Oh,
first off, like, if you did that, don't post about it. Don't post about it.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe. Because it just makes me sad. I'm like,
it's like, oh, you think you're fine.
Just keep watch Mean Girls and eat some Ben and Jerry's like a normal
person. Don't cry into the Ben and Jerry's, but by all means, treat yourself. Yeah, just don't tell everybody about it, because we know you're not fine. You're not fine.
No one who is fine needs people to know so
that they're fine.
Like, a fine person, just gonna be fine.
Exactly.
Oh God, people. Yes, it's so true. So, anyways, it's kind of an interesting thing, the dependency paradox. Mm-hmm. So, Elizabeth, what happens when we rely on the person we rely most when they don't fulfill their attachment role? What happens?
Well,
it can fuck you up.
Yep. Like,
they literally found that men in shitty marriages have higher rates of heart attacks.
But
higher rates of, like, obesity, probably because you're not getting it. And there's rates of, what is blood pressure? That's not heart attacks, right? Does that cause stress?
Blood pressure is a proponent. Are you talking about cholesterol?
No, that's also heart a proponent. Attacks and stroke, but then also blood pressure. But
I mean, blood pressure in general is... it's not directly linked, but it's a factor.
So anyways, they were just they were not 10 out of 10. They were not feeling healthy. Their insides were angry.
Reflecting their outsides.
Because their marriage was stressful. And women, basically the same thing. They were basically miserable. And yeah, so they were like, if you're in a bad relationship, then it can cause health problems. And I think that's very interesting.
I actually think that's fascinating.
Yeah. And here's something really cool, too. This guy, Dr. James Cone, he did a study because he kind of found that people in healthier relationships were healthier people.
Interesting.
And so he was like, what? That's crazy. And he brought these women in for this like little study. He put them in an fMRI machine. And essentially, like, the control group was they were holding a stranger's hand. And then they were holding no hand, they were just there by themselves, or they were holding their spouse's hand.
Interesting.
And then they also had them separately rate the quality of their relationship. And so then they would, like, kind of give them this electrocute, like,
yeah.
Shock them a little bit. And they found women who were holding a stranger's hand showed a little bit of pain, like, it kind of helped. But it wasn't really that different from holding no hand, and women who were holding the hand of their person and they had a good relationship had a pretty dramatic decrease in, like, pain.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think, because we've talked about monogamy before.
Right.
So it's interesting because we both come to the conclusion that we don't think monogamy is normal.
It's not natural.
It's like, instinct. It's not natural. But it's something to be admired, and
yeah,
it's something to work
romantic,
towards. It's so romantic.
Sweet.
Well, and you.
I would like to be the only one.
Yeah, when it is a good relationship, it's on fire,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that our brain is telling us the same thing, even though physically we're very attracted to multiple people all the time.
Yeah, because attachment
yeah.
is not.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of something funny and I'm failing and this is super embarrassing and you didn't have to say anything.
What attachment style is that?
I'm fine.
Everything's fine.
I'm fine. This is fine.
It's fine.
No, because attachment isn't sex. So.
It's not. And so I think people skew that a lot.
Yeah.
And if they think that, like, if they have a relationship and some people I've heard this, they're like, oh, I don't have sex every night. I'm like, whoa, that's a bad thing? And they're like, yeah, you're supposed to.
What? That's...
No, that's
you
not...
You gotta sleep.
That's not even an attachment. That's not attachment.
No.
That's not even a sexual relationship.
That's a weird
at some
power
point,
dynamic
exactly,
thing. Like,
exactly. At that point...
That's an anxious, like, thing where you're like, oh my gosh, they're not having sex with me, they must hate me.
Exactly.
And it's like, no, maybe they're tired. Maybe they
can't get it up.
Yeah, maybe they ate too much Mexican food. Maybe they're super gassy. Maybe they're on their period and they're not feeling it.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Period sex sucks.
Yeah, sometimes it's good, but most of the time it's just kind of horrifying. You feel like you're in like some kind of Saw movie.
Like a murder scene.
Like Jigsaw's gonna come around. Would you like to play a game? And he's like, no, I didn't want to do this.
Too fucking bad.
I'm like, I'm so sorry. It's just...
Sometimes that comes out.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's wild. Not pregnant. Yeah. Whatever. Basic shit. Anyways, so, yeah. Lust and sex are very different, or an attachment are very different. So, and when the person that we rely on most doesn't fulfill their attachment role, it can cause health issues and it can be pretty bad. So, it's good for everyone to know that attachment styles are stable, but they are also plastic. So, like, what you were as a child definitely influences what you will be as an adult. So I should be certifiably insane based on my childhood, which I am, but I think for different reasons. But it's plastic. So depending on your experiences they find as an adult, kind of what you experience as an adult, how you handle those
things. We'll shift it.
And genes. Yeah. Because if you like end up being like a stable person... Or, like, someone who just is, like, I am not going to be
what my psycho. What I went through. I'm not going to be what I went through.
Yeah, I'm not going to be defined by that. But then they get into a really bad relationship, but then they grow from it. They might be a pretty, deep, like, good
Well, and I think that it's, fit. I mean, just like everything in life, you start at some point. You go through things. You take steps back. Then you take steps forward. Then you take steps. And if that doesn't form you.
Yeah.
What are you doing? It's supposed to. You're supposed to grow. You're supposed to learn. And so this is no different.
It's very true. But it will, they will tell you, for an avoidant person to become secure.
Oof.
It's pretty hard. It's kind of more doable for an anxious person to become more secure. Because if an anxious person is with a secure person, we'll go through this, they'll naturally become more secure.
Makes sense.
But anyway, so... People unwittingly give their attachment styles away. People observe that shit. Mm-hmm. And we are going to help you observe this. So if you are like wondering, what is this person that I am seeing? What are they? Or even if you're wondering, what am I?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Let's go through this.
Which everybody should know what you are, because it's going to dictate how you're going to treat yourself and your partner.
I want to emphasize on what you just said.
Yeah.
On how you treat yourself. That's a big one. So I feel like people feel shame in being, like, when they have needs.
Oh, yes, because I think for women especially, we are always taught growing up, like, depending on what culture you grew up and what religion you grew up with, you're very much so forced into the nurturing center. And granted, it is very natural for women to nurture. Yeah.
We're like, but
yeah, oh my gosh, that baby. Yeah. You know, I never want babies, but all of a sudden my ovaries start freaking out.
But they
smell
good.
Oh. They do.
It's so weird.
I don't care if you've just barfed. It still smells like an angel.
Yeah, it's like those pheromones. It's stupid. And you're just like, oh, God,
yeah. Yeah, it's so dumb. But, yeah, as we grow up, we're pushed into the nurturing role. Yeah. And along with that comes a lot of worry, comes a lot of, like, anxiety when you're trying to be there for somebody and then you feel that you have to be the most secure person there. And it just continues to shift and morph. And so, obviously, you're going to be defined by that.
But it's also silly, too, because I feel like what you're saying, women are constantly like, oh, I shouldn't bother him.
Yeah.
I shouldn't need that. I shouldn't ask for that. But
I'll be fine. It's going to be fine. I'll figure it out on my own. Yeah. When you don't have to figure it out on your own.
It's totally fine for you to be like, hey, it really means a lot to me when you hold my hand, and I would like it if you held my hand. And after reading all this stuff about intimacy and attachment and how it really does benefit you to
absolutely
be attached and intimate with someone.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, if she's like, hey, will you hold my hand? I just really like it. You're actually fostering closeness, and then she'll probably be way good to you later.
She'll give you a blowjob.
Yeah, because she's nice.
Or, I don't know, get up and do the dishes. Blowjob.
Yeah. That's real. so, anyways, Let's go through these things. Has this person cheated on a previous partner?
Yes or no?
If they have, that's 1 point for avoidant.
Love it.
Using distancing strategies. So they want to sleep in a separate bed. They never want to sleep over, even though you guys have been dating forever. They never want to move in with someone who they've been, you know, seriously dating for 6 years. Solo vacationer.
I am sorry, but I'm listening to all of these things, and if you are not counting these things as red flags, what is wrong with you? Those are like huge red flags.
Right?
You shouldn't
well,
have to.
Well, once you're already with someone for 6 years, oh, you probably just dude. Like, whatever.
That would be like terrifying. Okay,
you've
sorry.
You've been together for 6 years, and you're like, so what are we? And they're like, we're just, we're friends. You're like, what?
What the? I haven't had sex with anybody else for how long?
Yeah. Another good sign of an avoidant attachment style is they never make clear plans. They like to keep them vague, foggy. They'll cancel unexpectedly. They won't follow through. Mm-hmm. Typical ghosting behavior.
Fuck ghosters, dude.
I know, dude. Fuck you. They're weak.
Yeah.
That's so weak.
Just be honest.
Yeah. Dude, it's almost more fun to be honest. Not because I like being mean at all, because I'm always nice.
I like it.
But it's like fun to, it's just like feels better. Like, listen, this is my truth and bye.
like it's just, there's less pain afterwards for both parties.
For both parties. So true. So they like to, you know, kind of keep people on the edge, kind of keep people in the orbit. Boundaries. They like to make sure that there are separate friends and family. They do not want to meet your friends. They don't want you to meet their friends. And here's a big one. They do not like it when you spend time at their place. They would prefer that they come to your place.
So I don't know how I feel about that. It
keeps like some proximity away from their world.
Wow, that's you're at that point, it's like, then what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. Now, keep in mind that everyone's on a spectrum here, so these aren't hard and fast rules. So someone could be avoidant, having never cheated on someone, and you go over to their house all the time, but they could still be avoidant in that they don't want to define the relationship with
these
you.
These people aren't, like, whoever is avoidant doesn't mean that all of these things are on the list of things that they're,
and it'll go down,
red flags.
Down the line
yeah.
for all of them. So, this one's interesting. Avoidant people typically have extreme types. So, blondes only.
Oh.
You know.
Okay, so serial killers.
Yeah, kind of.
Great.
That is so accurate.
I'm sorry,
whenever
but
I've met, like, you'll, like, meet a guy or whatever, you'll hear them be like, mm-hmm. They have to have blue eyes. And you're like, why?
I'm going to get up and leave. Check, please. Like,
yeah, what?
That's
why, like, too that's far. So weird.
Too far. Or don't tell anybody. Yeah. And why are you on a date with somebody most of the time that doesn't have that, if that's what you
well,
want?
Well, see, that's another really fun thing about avoidance is they always will have an unrealistic expectation that relationships should be perfect, and they typically romanticize past relationships. So they'll look at someone they left and be like, what a catch. Loved her. She was my blonde, blue-eyed, 5'7", triple E breast, and you're like, shit, what happened to you as a young child?
God, what size boobs did your mom have?
She breastfed you until you were 8?
Yeah, seriously.
What's going on? Oh, shit.
Okay, so they have a very specific type.
Which I think is very interesting.
I do think that's interesting.
Avoidant people are typically the people that need space when they're angry, which is interesting.
That is interesting.
Because I'm one of those.
I was going to say, there are a lot of people. That just goes to show that even though you may not think that you're an avoidant person, you'll still have avoidant tendencies.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. So they have a need for love and they want love, but they tend to feel suffocated when things get too close, and that's why they keep things at an arm's length.
Oh boy, is that me sometimes.
Yeah?
That's definitely me.
They're like, love me, but also get out.
Yeah, like, love me, but, like, from a few feet away.
Yeah, go over there. They see a lot of exchanges in a relationship as a negotiation for space and independence.
That's interesting.
So another fun fact about avoidance, they never date each other, ever. There, in every study of attachment done on couples, there have never been two avoidant people together.
That's a...
And it is because there's not enough glue.
No. You can't stay together with somebody like that.
No. Especially if they're both like, no, your place. No, your place.
Yeah, it's like this constant back and forth for plans.
No, I'm going to ghost you. No, I'm going to ghost you. And I'm not going to be clear. And then pretty soon...
I mean, would they ever even have communication?
No. But like, that's why they never date. Yeah. Like, they would just... Anyway, so I just think that's pretty
funny. That is hilarious.
So, signs of a secure attachment style are reliable and consistent... They make plans and they follow through. If they can't make it, they will typically give you notice and make plans to make up for it.
Rain check.
They typically don't go back on promises, and they will explain if a promise does fall through. They like securely attached people like to make decisions together. So they like to kind of talk to the person they're with and kind of figure out, you know, where do you want to eat? Well, this is kind of what I think. They have flexible views of relationships, so they're not the person that's going to highly romanticize the past.
Great.
They're not going to have a really rigid
type. They're going to live in the moment.
Yeah. So one really, like, hallmark sign of a securely attached person is when they're like, you know, I don't typically go for, say, this type, quote unquote, but I like this person, so I will go for it. Because they are like, whatever. People are cool. They express emotions pretty... Well, they don't act out, and they don't expect people to guess what they're feeling.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
They are good compromisers. They don't focus on being right during a conflict.
Okay.
And they are not uncomfortable with friends or family. They naturally express feelings. They don't typically play games. Games being, well, you didn't respond to me, so I'm not going to respond to you.
Responded me 2 hours after I texted you. I'm not going to text you back for 3.
Yeah, exactly. They don't do that. Yeah, they want to be close. They're not overly sensitive to rejection, and intimacy is a given with these people because they like it, and because they are comfortable with intimacy, they allow you to be your most authentic self.
Love it.
Yes.
But also, there's not one single person on this earth that can be all of those things.
No, never. Ever. Yeah. That's why when we talk about the grid of attachment, you'll never have someone who's at ground zero. So, yeah, is that a graph term or just a 9/11 term?
I think that's just 9/11. But I got it. I understood.
Yeah. 0, 0 in a graph. Guys, you guys get it. Like the quadrant. I fucking hope so.
Otherwise, you gotta go back. No, that's not even college. That's elementary school.
Second grade math. okay, so here's an anxious attachment style. They like to spend all their time with their significant other. They want to become one being with the person that they're with.
I just got so much anxiety with that.
I know.
Yeah. Like,
whoa,
that's too far.
Yeah, chill out. Play it cool, be cool. So, physical contact is kind of a constant.
Okay.
They express insecurity. So, a lot of times, they will kind of tell you, like, oh, man, like, I hope, like, an anxious person will kind of be like, okay, I'm going to meet your family. Oh, I said this stupid thing. They probably hate me. You know,
like, overanalyzing.
Yeah. Like, and just being like, you probably won't like me. You probably hate me. Oh, my God. So, expresses insecurities. They worry about the person they are with, their exes. So, they're the person that's going to be like, don't talk about your exes. Don't. We can't acknowledge that you ever knew anyone before me. We can't.
Not realistic.
Yeah.
But also very much so anxious.
Mm-hmm. They are not happy when they are not in a relationship, so they're constantly relationship hopping. They are not very good at being alone. And they like to play games, so they pretend to be unavailable when they are available. They'll not text you back based on when you text them, things like
that. Which just increases your anxiety if you have anxiety. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's just they can't help themselves.
No.
Apparently, but that's what's, like, funny is when you have an anxious, like, style, it's not, like, no one's doing this on purpose. It's literally just their jam.
They don't know how not to.
So they can't explain what's wrong when something's wrong. They engage in protesting behavior, which protesting behavior is, like, I'm going to ignore you when, like, you're at home and it's, like, basically protesting behavior is literally, like, hey, look at me. I'm over here, you asshole. Yeah. Which everyone does to a certain degree.
To a certain degree, yeah, but when you're constantly doing that to your partner and making them feel like shit.
Yeah, it's bad news bears. So, anxious people will be preoccupied with relationships. They will want to talk about it. They kind of get obsessed with it, which is pretty normal for most attachment styles in the very beginning, but there's kind of persist.
As they adapt.
Fears, tiny things will ruin the relationship. They have a constant fear of cheating. They will compulsively check your social media or, like, break into your shit. Anxious, though, it sounds really bad. They get a bad rap, but it's really not terrible if you are able to give them what they need. They crave intimacy, and they have very sensitive attachment systems. So when they sense a shift, they get so afraid of rejection that that's when they, like, panic. And so if you can communicate with them, like, really effectively, their communication skills will be lifted up, and then you will actually end up with a great partner, because anxious types are very loyal and devoted, and they'll, like, basically never cheat on you.
Or you can be, they're too afraid.
Yeah. So, oh my god, I can't lose them. Anyways, it's kind of like my dog. Cheat on me.
No.
Because I can't even go to the bathroom without him there. So
that's fun.
It's fine. And, like, he doesn't have great communication skills. Like, Mm-mm. He doesn't really tell me Mm-mm. what is going on.
No, never. Are you kidding me?
And so it's very confusing, but I know that if I just persevere with him, we'll really pull through. So fun fact.
Love it.
Avoidant people. Mm-hmm. Almost exclusively date
anxious
people.
That makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Think about it. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, and anxious people love. It's typically anxious women mm-hmm. love avoidant men.
And oh my gosh, why is that my entire high school relationship?
Yeah, why is that?
Like every relationship I had in high school was that to a T.
Yeah. Here's what's really interesting. There are more avoidant people in the dating pool than any other attachment style.
Yeah, because nobody snags them up.
Yeah, well, because they're always like, don't you dare snag me.
Are you kidding? Why did you just talk to me? We haven't talked for 2 days. I need at least 3 to recuperate.
Yeah. Like, I have to think about it for a week.
You asked me where I wanted to go to dinner. I need time to think about it.
Yeah, you know what's
I'll
like,
get back to you in, July.
Whenever I feel.
Yeah.
The funny thing, too, is I feel like avoidant people, I don't know, I think we would revere them as strong, but when you really think about it, it's kind of...
It's weak.
It's weak, yeah.
But it's weak
it's
in, like...
It's not their fault, but, like...
In a very sad way.
Yeah.
Like, because they think they're all that they need when they do need love.
Yeah, like, just like that baby that's screaming internally.
Yeah. But you know, they're like, bitch, I got it. Like, leave me alone.
So those people are still like, please love me, someone.
Like, all inside, those people are fucked up.
Yeah, they're lonely.
They're lonely. There's probably some mental health issues.
Yeah, they probably had a bad childhood.
I would say that's most of them.
But yeah, if an avoidant person finds a securely attached person, they'll be like, cool.
Chronic cheaters. Dude. It's, like, at that point, out of their control.
Yeah, that's true. A chronic cheater would be an avoidant person.
Exactly.
They do these things where they will also devalue their partner and minimize their attachment to their partner.
So it's easier for them to leave.
Yeah, because it's scary, which is just so sad. It's just so lonely.
Like, you don't want love?
All you avoidant people, just everybody hold hands, and they're all triggered.
They're like, what the... Oh my God. Asked me to touch someone.
Yeah. So, yeah, avoidant individuals prefer anxiously attached people, and it is because these people, as everyone is, they are drawn to reenact familiar scripts. So an avoidant person needs to know, relationships are shitty, I hate being in them, people just want to, you know, marry me immediately, you know, women, they just want to, like, tie you down, and you can't be independent. And so, of course, they attract an anxious person because an anxious person is like, let's get married, you know? And they're like, oh, my God.
Opposites attract, dude. It's so real.
I just think people attract, like, especially if you're not proactively growing.
Yeah.
You, like, attract what, like, their demons will, like, love your demons.
Oh, yeah.
And your demons are like, let's see if we can really fuck these guys up.
Exactly.
And they will.
They really will.
They
quickly.
Will. It'll be
quick work.
Flash before your eyes. But so avoidance. Yeah, we said can't date each other because there's no glue. Something very interesting when anxious people start dating a secure person, they will almost always say it's missing a spark. And that is because anxious people tend to conflate the anxiety and the insecurity of a relationship with an avoidant person with love.
Okay.
They will think that that ignited attachment system is love. And what that means is whenever essentially like I will open up. So I took my little attachment test and I am secure with some avoidant tendencies and some anxious tendencies. My anxious tendency is a fear of abandonment. So when I feel like someone's going to just abandon me, I will start to panic. And in that panic, like one time with like the last real relationship I had, essentially he was just being a fucking idiot as they always are. And so I was like, in my mature way, I was like, well, let's like talk on the phone so that we can like have a conversation and like end this like
amicably.
Well. Yeah, because I don't like to end things.
No.
Like shitty like that. So I was like, let's just like talk it through so that we're not angry.
And we're not leaving certain things unfinished.
Unsaid and stuff. So I called and then he said something along the lines of, no, I'm not giving you that. You just want to be heard. And I don't want to give you that. And I was like, ouch. He's abandoning me. And then my lizard brain turned on and I was like, call, call, call. I just was like, at some point, I think it was like 15, and I was just like, I'm just going to keep doing it.
Because at that point, you're already far in. What are you going to do?
And then I'm sitting there like, I look crazy. I'm not the crazy one. He's the crazy one. And then I was
But it's just because that part of your attachment
system.
Yeah.
My attachment system kicked on and was like, hey, Elizabeth, you don't want to be abandoned because no one else will ever love
so
you
So it's time to freak out.
Yeah. I'm like, call, 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 call. And yeah, that was pretty fucking
terrible
sad for me. Because
so sad.
That is a narrative I have to live with.
Yeah.
But you know what? He never answered. And to be honest, so it was months ago.
We're fine.
A week later, he's like, man, I will always regret that. And I just was like, you sure will.
Yep, bitch.
Dipshit. Seriously, bitch. But, yeah, he's a nice person. Everyone has their issues, but whatever. That was not a great moment for either of us.
You're so nice.
Because
I am, like, the I guess it's because it's you, and I'm like, you fucking asshole, mess with Liz. I'm gonna take you outside. True. Like, so I get, like, protective, and you're like, it's fine. And I'm like, no, it's not.
I would be the same way. Luckily, the person you're with would never pull any shit.
No, she wouldn't.
She's too nice. She's like, love you.
Yeah, she's like, oh, well, things are parting. Goodbye.
Goodbye, I'll love you forever.
I'll love you forever.
Oh, yeah.
And I, like, would close the door and then start screaming.
Open it. Come back! So when you get into the habit of being an anxious person with an avoidant person, so that avoidant person constantly triggers your attachment system because they're constantly minimizing attachment and intimacy and all those things, then you're constantly kind of in a state of panic. But then an avoidant person will like pop through and be like, but I love you. And then the anxious person is like, oh my God, finally, that felt so good. And then they conflate that cycle with that's what love is. And so when they date a securely attached person, the securely attached person is just like, yeah, like, this
cool.
is great, you're great. And they're like, what? How come I'm not terrified to lose you? And how come I'm not constantly...
All of a sudden, like, I'm not constantly on the edge of my seat. And, you know, I'm not having a panic attack every day anymore. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Like,
things are different.
Like, you know, like, you could probably relate because you've been in a really toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. I remember when I, like, the second date I went on with, like, the really toxic guy.
Yeah.
I asked my mom for a fucking Ativan. I was like, can I get an Ativan? This is just, like, really hard for me. Like, he really stresses me out.
What? On the second date?
Second date. And you know what my mom did? gave one to me and said, good luck. And I was just, I look back and I am like, damn.
God, Lisa.
Pull it together. Like, if your daughter's like, this is really, I really hate this.
I'm really struggling, but actually, let's go.
To be fair, I think she did say, do you think this is, like, a good idea? I was just like, yes, I love him.
Oh, no. I can absolutely relate. I had to smoke a bowl at least to go have a conversation with him. When we lived in the same household, we didn't live in the same household. We were always apart in different rooms. And I would have to be fucking toasted to go have a conversation with him.
I could do this.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm just going to go through half a pound of weed every week. It's fine.
To be here.
It's terrible, but it's fine.
Exactly. Yeah, so.
We're so fucked up.
Yeah, this is fine.
It's fine.
But yeah, it's just really interesting because secure people usually are in successful relationships, so they're also the rarest one
to find.
So that's another reason why avoidance and anxious people get together. But the best thing is you can work on becoming more secure, namely by putting your needs first, mm-hmm. and realizing, guys, there ain't no shame in being like, hey, I need love and attention. I need it.
Well, I think it goes both ways. Nothing is wrong with saying, I really want to, like, be close to you. Could you come closer? Mm-hmm. And it's also okay to be like, I need space. Like, I need a minute.
Yeah. Or, like, let's say you're having a tough day at work, or you felt like you had a fight, like, before work, mm-hmm. or something, and then you're at work and you're all stressed out.
Yeah.
Guys, send a text that says, hey, I'm really stressed out about this, like, can you just reassure me that we're okay or something?
I have done that so many times. Yeah. And a lot of the time it's over stupid stuff, but you never know what is going to, like, trigger you.
Yeah.
And what you're going to be like, okay, wait a second. Like, that actually really irritated me more than I thought it would. I need to say something.
Yeah.
And if you leave things unfinished, all they do is fester.
It's very true.
All they do is fester.
That's another thing that'll help everybody become way more securely attached so that your relationships are healthy and they allow you to thrive because mm-hmm. of the dependency paradox is if you become effective communicators.
Yep.
So if you're like, hey, I don't like this, just remember in your head, because that's another thing. Like, I feel like it came with maturity. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was 19 and, you know, you're dating, like, an older guy, it's weird because you have the brain of a child.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, I can't say anything, like, about what I need or what I want or anything like that.
No, because at that point, you kind of don't know what you need or you want. You don't know how to voice what you want.
No, you're not an effective communicator.
Not at all.
So you'll just, like, bottle it in. That's what anxious people typically do is they'll bottle it in and then kind of be mad that you don't know. But
how the hell are they supposed to know?
Yeah. And avoidant people, they'll avoid it altogether. With an avoidant person, you could say, hey, I'm feeling this way. And they'll be like, cool. That's it.
Yeah. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then the other person's sitting there like, fuck.
I thought
that was going to go somewhere. It really didn't go anywhere. I'm screwed.
Oh, God, they're leaving. I can never find another relationship ever again. This is it. And the avoidant person is like, man, I really love them, but.
Okay.
I don't want to be around him at all right now. And
here's the thing. I think I can look back at all of my relationships and assign specific, you know, attachment
theories
to each person and to myself because it's completely shifted with person to person, which just goes to show that a lot of the people that you can end up being in a relationship with, like, even though at the time it seems as if they're your person.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
And you have to go through that and you have to learn that and it sucks, but, you know, they're not.
And I think it's also important, too, to get to a point where you're like, okay, let's say you have an anxious style. Mm-hmm. And you have these moments where you're like, oh, they don't like me, right? Or like, if I do this, they won't like me or whatever. No, that's not it. Mm-hmm. If they're avoidant, they have their own thing going on.
It's not all about you.
Yeah.
And that's hard to understand sometimes, especially when you're in a relationship and you don't have kids. Because I think when you have kids, things shift and you're like, nothing's ever going to be like, about
who
me
are
again.
You? What? Who?
Did we have sex to have this child?
Who?
Are you sure? But when you're in a relationship and it's just the two of you and you're figuring things out with each other, there's so much overanalyzing about what's going on that at some point it just becomes like, you have to be okay with them doing their thing.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay doing your thing. Yep. And sometimes those paths aren't going to cross.
Nope.
And that's okay.
And sometimes that has nothing to do with you, too. Like, I would say
more time than not, it doesn't have to do with you.
Yeah.
Unless you're being a bitch.
If you're out there dating and you're going to be single for Valentine's Day, next time you go on a date with someone, don't be sitting there obsessing over if you're going to do the right thing. And maybe if you're avoidant, don't sit there and think about, like, how you're going to, like, kind of ignore them into loving you, because that's weird. And
so, it happens so often, though.
Yeah. But, like, realize everyone's dealing with their attachment style. So if you know that you're avoidant, find someone who isn't anxious about it. And if you're anxious, realize that if someone's avoidant, it's not because they don't like you. It's because they don't have the right tools to give you what you need. And if you,
but that doesn't mean they won't ever. It will take time. It will take a long damn time. But over time, they'll learn you.
Yeah, and if you are with someone right, that triggers your attachment system, the key to success is effective communication.
Always. I mean, in everything.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm proud to say somehow I've become more secure. I think it's because the last person I was with had an anxious attachment style. The toxic relationship had it's called disorganized. So they have both.
There's multiple guys, by the way. We're only touching the main three.
Yeah. There's the other one, which only 2% of people have. And it's like, it's the disoriented or disorganized.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially they score really high in avoidant and anxious.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. Because they're like, go away, go away, go away, come back. Be the same person as me. Also, don't be around me at all. I don't want to talk to you. It's just really fun. But
it's just a party.
It's like, just so, you're like, who am I going to get today? This is really cool. But it was funny because when I was in that relationship, I was totally anxious.
Yeah.
I was so anxious. I was like, oh, it was horrible.
Because it was perpetuating that.
Yeah, because it was just really confusing. Yeah. And then I was like, oh my God. And that triggered my attachment system. And then I was with someone who was very anxious, you know, like a year later. And I was like, holy shit. Chill.
Get out of here. You gotta not.
And so now, I don't know, it just like honed me into this like kind of anxious, slightly avoidant, secure person. And so, yeah, it's possible, guys.
It is possible.
I am maybe.
But the work on it doesn't ever stop.
No, for sure. I could like meet someone, I don't know, that fucks me right up.
And you're back at square one.
Yeah.
It's happened multiple times. It's part of the game. It's part of it.
But there ain't no gain if there ain't no pain. So remember, you will be a really well-off person if you find the right person to rely on and to trust. And
just don't stop looking.
Don't stop looking.
And don't, on Valentine's Day, feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah, don't buy yourself flowers, for the love of God.
Like, leave those for the people that actually need to get a last-minute gift for their person.
Yeah, don't be selfish.
Yeah.
That's fucking rude.
Like, that dude's gonna go home and get his ass reamed because he didn't get flowers because your ass took them.
Because she has an anxious attachment style, and she's gonna read into that and be like, do you not love me?
Buy yourself some tacos on Valentine's Day,
A good idea. Go to Del Taco.
Yeah.
Get a freaking breakfast burrito.
Do it right.
No, breakfast taco with corn tortilla. Or, you know what? Add one
day drink. Skip work. Get drunk.
Mimosas. I don't know if this says a lot about my drinking problem that I really don't have, but.
as we sit here drinking water.
Yeah. My drinking problem with LaCroix, you should see my house. it's like I'm swimming in LaCroix cans. Anyways. Yeah, I think the most romantic thing ever would be like, hey, I got you the day off. We're going to go day drinking.
Are you kidding me? Yes. They're like, I'm going to buy you a shit ton of food that you probably shouldn't be eating, but you're going to eat it anyway.
Yeah, that's like.
And we're going to drink until, you know, we have to find an Uber home.
Yeah, that sounds so fun.
Are you kidding?
I'm going to get myself that for Valentine's Day.
You should do that.
I have a fun little time for Valentine's Day with someone very nice.
So. Yes.
Aww. That'll be fine.
So exciting.
Yeah.
But you didn't even realize that this was on Valentine's Day, so you're killing it.
I know. I was like, oh yeah, that is that day.
Conveniently, he asked me to go with him on Valentine's Day. It is. It's really cute. It's adorable.
Okie dokie, people. Missed ya. Love ya. Subscribe. And I do have to say, if you want to give us 5 stars, please give us 5 stars because it helps with the algorithms so that people
We know see. What you want. We know what you guys want to, you know, listen to.
We'll figure you out. Just like your last boyfriend.
Happy Valentine's Day! I know you think I'm a sociopath. My lovely prey, I'm a cliche. Make way, I'm in my Pepsi mood. Mama needs food, how about a barbecue? For us, the bourgeoisie, so carefree. Remember when we... I don't know why you need to get by. Something for your mind.